Good morning, everyone. It's April 26, 2020, and we are coming to you live from our Faith Baptist Church auditorium here and excited about what God's going to do this morning in our service. Thank you for your faithfulness with watching the service. Once again, it's still during this time of what they're calling a national emergency, the pandemic, to deal with the virus. So we're not all meeting here. There's just a few people here that's necessary for the service. And looking forward to how God's going to work today. I know the service has been going really well in the last few weeks, and asking God to once again work amongst us. We have a brand new singing group today that's going to do a special for you, and looking forward to that. They've never done it here as just these four, so you'll have to wait and see how God works all that out. And looking forward to God working our service this afternoon. Remember, the church service will be posted probably around 6 o'clock tonight, so you'll be praying for both these services that God works in your heart. Let's have a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today. What an opportunity it is to come to your house. But Lord, we understand how great a privilege that is, because there's many people that are sitting at their homes right now watching. And Lord, we pray that you bless the service. We know by faith, Lord, you're able to work through this, and we believe that as you lead us during these times of uncertainty, God, we're depending and leaning on you and trusting in you. Thank you for the opportunities we have to do things through cameras and through live streams and through audio systems, making the Word of God available not to only people that are present in the property, but also all around the world. Lord, we praise you for how good you are to us. Lord, we're asking for your help today. And Lord, we pray that you work through the service in a special way. And Lord, everything that's done here today, Lord, we offer it to you. And Lord, we ask that you bless it. But Lord, it is our form of worship and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start off with our theme song. Have Brother Jim come lead us in a theme song. And then he's also going to lead us in a congregational song.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around.
Our next song is number 116, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Sing all three verses. Sing with me.
I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
And the last.
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of glory. singing, and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Every morning when I wake, see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things he's done. He meets my every need. You know he's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done.
For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, I'll try to live my life to please him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done.
There are many things that I could praise God. If I started now until I died, there'd still be many more. If I could mention only one, I'd have to thank him for his son. That's enough to praise the Lord for all he's done.
For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, try to live my life to please him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, I'll try to live my life to please him. Even though it's just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done.
Once again, welcome to Faith Baptist Church this morning. Just a couple quick announcements. Actually, there's a number of them. Birthday of the week is Jenny Klein's birthday is on the 29th, and the anniversary of the week is Greg and Charlene Colvin's anniversary on the 29th. So happy birthday, happy anniversary to them. A couple other announcements. First, this past week, we taped our first ever FBC Kids program, and it's a program that is intended for ages 3 all the way up to 7th grade. I know that that's a big age difference, but since they haven't been able to come to junior church or have specific Sunday school-type classes, we've taped one of those services, and we're hoping to do them weekly. It has a missionary story, has an object lesson, has a Bible lesson in it, and if you're looking for it, it can be found on our church Facebook page. And also, it can be found on YouTube by searching FBC Kids ECNC. So obviously, FBC stands for Faith Baptist Church, Kids, K-I-D-S, and then EC for Elizabeth City, NC. Also, it may even also be on our FBC EC NC normal YouTube page that's there too. Encourage you to watch it, encourage the kids to get involved with it, and I think it would be a good time for them to be able to sit around and watch some good things. Like I said, we miss them here. Their teachers miss them here. In upcoming weeks, we're hoping to have maybe some of their teachers do different things if they're interested into that, and not just be me and the other people that were helping this past week. So if you like to get involved and you're a teacher here at the church and you like to get involved, just telling your kids that you miss them and that you would like to teach or do the object lesson, let me know that. Also, we had a great week of fasting and praying with the different churches. We still have today there's a church that's up in Virginia, Chesapeake, Virginia. Great Hope Baptist is doing their day today, and this past Monday was our day as a church for fasting and praying. I've heard a lot of great feedback about that. Very thankful for that opportunity to spend some time together in prayer as a church family. Also, many of you have mentioned how God led your heart to fast in different ways, and very, very blessed for that time we spent together. There is something we're going to try to do again, and that's going to be on May 4th. It's just going to be our church, and it's going to be for a specific reason to have another day of fasting and praying, and it's for our families. One thing the Lord burdened my heart about this past week is for our individual families and as our church family, but it's going to be different, the idea that we're going to have the same time slots, but they're going to be 30-minute time slots. And also, what I'm asking you to do, if you'd like to have a particular member of your family prayed for during that day, we're going to develop a list that's open to anybody that would like to see the list. So if you have a family member that's unsaved, maybe a family member that's away from the Lord, maybe a family member that is sick, and you make that list out and you send it to me, and we're going to combine the list. Now, we need the list by the Friday before Mother's Day, and that's going to be May 8th, so that way it can be, I'm sorry, it's May 4th is the day, so it would be May, let's see, 3rd, 2nd. So by May 1st, we need the list of the prayer requests, so that way we can have it all together and pass out, so that way people can start praying for them on May 4th. So on May 4th, we're going to have another day of praying and fasting. You say, Pastor, are we going to do this all the time? We're going to do this according to the way the Lord allows us to, and I don't think the plan is to do it all the time, but the Lord burned my heart for our families. I've heard many of your stories. You have sons and daughters that are away from God, sons and daughters that do not know Christ, maybe parents or grandparents that do not know Christ or that are not living for God, maybe parents or grandparents that are sick. There is a long list of different people I know that specifically, as I'm going down the prayer list, that there's grandkids and kids, all those different people, all those different families, and I think the list could be fairly long. So we wanted to focus on people that have specific spiritual needs and physical needs. And I know that we'll be encouraging people to pray for the young people of the church that day also. But if there's some specific needs that you would like shared with the group of people that are praying that day, and whoever signs up for a time slot, we'll make sure they have that prayer request list. And we'll give you some more other prayer request lists to kind of deal with when it comes to church families, or more specifically for home families. I know there's people in my family that I would like to see living for God that are not. And I know there are people who I believe in, even inside my family or extended family, that are unsaved that we pray for on a regular basis. So I think it's a great thing to pray for. I think it's something that you would feel, I would think it would encourage me to know that someone else is praying for this member of my family. And us taking a day set aside and fasting and praying, seeking God's face on behalf of our families, I think it's a great day. And I think God's going to answer some prayers for that day too. So that is May 4th. If you'd like to have a time slot, you can start texting me even now during the service time if you want to. Don't worry, the phone's not going to go off. The service is pretty much pre-recorded for many of you. And let me know that you're available and what time of day that you're available, and we'll fill in those slots. And so we need somebody for every half hour of every day. There's 24 hours a day. And on that Monday, we'll start once again at midnight, go all the way to 11:59 p.m. So I need 48 different slots that are filled. And this past time, we've had a few slots that had double people because of the fact there is some extra left over, which we're thankful and excited about. So if we can get extra people praying, that's fine. But the different thing is, I'm depending on you to help me with the prayer list. I'm depending on what you would like to see people praying for. You say, Pastor, there is some family members I want to pray for, but I don't feel comfortable sharing that with someone else. That's fine. You can write it as an unspoken, Or you can say, hey, Pastor, I want you to just be praying for these people, and I will not include it on the public list. It's not going to go up on Facebook. It's not going to go up on YouTube, but it's going to be sent to those who signed up for the prayer slots or for those who have just asked or request a copy. And it's going to be something private for our church family. It's not something we're asking the other churches to get involved with. It's just on May 4th that we have another day of praying and fasting, and that's specifically for our families. And I think God's going to bless that. And like I said, I heard a lot of positive feedback this past time. If you didn't get involved last time, let me encourage you to get involved. Don't just say, well, pastor's going to have enough people. I'll just pray. When you make a commitment, it makes a big difference. If you just say, oh, I'm just going to pray, you know what happens many times? We forget and we don't commit it. And the list is never going to get filled up if people just say, I'll just pray whenever. We want that list filled so that way we can know each person that day that for 24 hours without stop that people are praying for different members of our church family's extended family. But I'm excited about that. So May 4th, start texting me the times, the days, say morning, evening, night, late night, early morning. Just let me know so we can fill those slots up and we can fill them up quickly. Now, like I said, we had a couple extra, but the problem was most people waited till Sunday to tell me. And so it'd be nice to know a little bit ahead of time. So if you want to be a part of it, let me know ahead of time and we'll fill those slots up. Last but not least, it's our spring revivals coming up May 10th through the 13th. Not sure of all the details yet. All we know is that Brother McBride is going to be preaching and his family is going to be also doing special music. Whether it's going to be here or if it's going to be done over the internet, we're going to work those details out according to a couple decisions we need to make. But May 10th through the 13th, schedule it for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, that the services will be there, they'll be available, and they'll be ready. And I want you to be around your computers, your screens at the normal times and let God work and bless your heart from the preaching and teaching of God's word and also from the singing. We'll still open up, if we do it electronically, we'll still open up the service with a congregational song and some announcements, and I'll greet. And if they're over in Indiana and he's preaching that way, it will just be taken, it'll be spliced together to where you can see the whole service together with us here and him over in Indiana. So we're looking forward to that, be praying for that, and thankful for, once again, all of your faithfulness, whether it's watching or even with your giving. Just make another announcement about our online giving. If you like to give through online, a number of people took advantage of that last week. You go to the church website, which is faithbaptistecnc.org. You look at the live stream button. Once you hit on that, there is a way, an opportunity to give if you like to do that way. Many people drop off their tithes. Many people are mailing it into a P.O. box. But just be faithful, not for my sake, not even for the church's sake, but be faithful because that's what we're supposed to do. And we want God to bless us during this time. We want God to use us, and we should be faithful with the things he's asked us to do when it comes to our tithes and offering. Once again, thank you for being such a wonderful church family.
Our next song is Oh, I Want to See Him, 167 in your songbook. We're going to sing 1, 2, and then the last. Oh, I Want to See Him. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Sing with me, verse 2. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Last verse. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he doth safely keep. and he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Dead, it is finished, he said. We had watched as his life ebbed away. Then we all stood around till the guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body that day. It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave. So I know how you feel, his death was so real, but please listen and hear what I say. I've just seen Jesus, I'll tell you he's alive. I've just seen Jesus, my precious Lord alive. And I knew he really saw me too, as if till now I never lived. All that I'd done before won't matter anymore. I'd just seen Jesus, and I'll never be the same. His voice I first heard, those kind, gentle words, asking what was my reason for tears. And I sobbed in despair, my Lord is not there. He said, child, it is I am here, I am here. I've just seen Jesus, I'll tell you he's alive. I've just seen Jesus, my precious Lord alive. And I knew he really saw me too.
Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Psalms chapter 27, the book of Psalms chapter number 27. This morning and this afternoon service, we're going to look a little bit about choices we have And the one choice we're going to see here this morning is choosing to see the goodness of the Lord. Psalms chapter number 27, as I was praying about exactly what to preach about this coming Sunday morning, the Lord led me to a certain verse. It's found in Psalms chapter 27, and it's found in verse number 13. And David says, he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that word faint talks about becoming tired, becoming growing weary, to be weak, to be feeble, to be exhausted. And David is saying that I would have become very weary. I would have became very weak. I would have became feeble, even to the point of exhaustion, if I had chosen not to believe, to see the goodness of the Lord. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about this word faint. And the reason why I think God has brought us to this moment and this time in this passage of Scripture is so that way we can see that even strong men and strong women of faith can become weak. They can become faint. And there is something that we need to choose to do if we don't want to be weak and we don't want to be faint. According to what the Bible says, there's an opportunity that many times people struggle with, and they come to a spot where it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So even those that are doing well, even those that are trying to do what's right, even those that seem like they're strong, when times are hard and when times face adversity, you know what can happen? We can become weak. We can become faint. And how do we overcome that? This afternoon, we're going to look at about being an overcomer a little bit, about how we have a choice not to sin. But this morning, I think one of the truths that David grabbed a hold of and that David saw in his life was, hey, I'm going to choose to believe, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's saying, hey, despite all the adversity, despite all the hardships, despite all the things that are going on around me, it talks about people that were false witnesses to him, talks about his enemies coming and to destroy him, talks about all types of distressing things that were going on in his life. And he said, despite all those other things, I've chosen to do one thing. I've chosen to see the goodness of the Lord. And boy, he is good, isn't he? Amen. He's good to us all the time. And the reality is, if we have the faith, because he said, I had believed, I had the faith to believe, to see the goodness of the Lord, and helped him not faint. He said, if I wouldn't have looked at things that way, if I would not have believed to see God in these circumstances, if I would not have believed to see the goodness of the Lord of all the things that are going around me, you know what would have happened? I would have fainted. I would have become weary. I would have become tiresome. I would have become exhausted in my life. But he says, no, none of those things happen. It would have happened if I chose not to do this. A number of times in the Bible, it talks about this word faint. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What the scripture is saying there, that the inward man can be renewed. The inward man can, even though the outward man may be perishing, even though the outward man may be becoming weak, and we can also be strengthening ourselves in the inward man. Luke 18:1, the scripture says, and he spake a parable unto them this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Proverbs 24:10 puts it this way, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And so I wanted to help us today, and I want us to understand that, yes, many of us think that today is a day of adversity. Many of us see trials on the horizon. Many of us see issues and problems and hardships ahead of us. And David was facing many of these things right at this moment. And he said, you know what I did? I chose to believe in the goodness of the Lord. Do you see God working in your hearts? Do you choose to believe? Do you have the faith to believe in the goodness of the Lord, despite the fact that they're telling us we should stay home, despite the fact that the unemployment rate is rising, despite the fact that it seems like many people are getting sick and some are dying? There's distressing times going on in many people's lives today, but as Christians and as believers, they should see people of faith. They should see people that have peace in their heart. They should see people that have strength to overcome. They shouldn't be seeing Christians fainting. They shouldn't see Christians becoming exhausted because of the circumstances. They should not see Christians growing weary and becoming weak because of the circumstances. They should see Christians taking a stand. And like the Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small.
David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, once again, we can see the goodness of the Lord in church, can't we? We can hear the Bateman sing a wonderful song about just lifting his hands to praise him because all he's done. Hear Miss Maxie sing a wonderful song about just seeing Jesus. And if you get a glimpse of him, if you look full into his wonderful face, you know what's going to happen? The things of this world are going to... It's easy to be in a church house, in a church service, and see the goodness of the Lord. But it says that David said, if I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means where people are living at. That means in the houses where people are distressed, and in the areas where there's people that are protesting, in the areas where people are making foolish decisions. He says, you know what? I chose to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in every situation. And I want to encourage you today, help us to be people that see the goodness of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for your word. Lord, we ask that you bless the reading and teaching and preaching of your word. We ask, Lord, that you fill me with your spirit. Lord, give me the words you once said, and Lord, help the words not to return void. We're thankful for the promises that are found in the word of God. And Lord, we pray that this be an encouragement and help to all that hear. Lord, help us calm our hearts and minds and specifically listen to what you would have for us from this passage of scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take time, we're going to read the whole chapter here, and then we're going to look at three different things seeing the goodness of the Lord will do for us. Three different things that seeing the goodness of the Lord will do for us. Let's go ahead and start in verse number one. He says, and you know, I like this verse. Our choir sings a song about this verse, and I thought about maybe singing a couple of verses for you, but then I decided not to. But it would have been nice if the choir could sing, and I can still hear them sing. I remember the first time I heard them practice this song, I'm thinking, what in the world? Because it's a different style song. It says, what are they? But I've grown to really enjoy it. They do a great job with it. I'm looking forward to the day that our choir can come back and sing as a group, that's for sure. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? And David here is bragging about God. He has confidence in God here. He's saying, look, he is my light. He is my salvation. He is my strength. Who shall I be afraid of? Verse number two, and he begins to talk about times past when people came to harm him and what God did to help. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. And he says, what is this confidence found in? It's the goodness of the Lord. Here in verse number four, he talks about this one thing that he desires. And I love this verse. It says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I love that phrase, the beauty of the Lord. What does he have his confidence in? He has his confidence in his desire. And what is his desire? His desire is the presence of God. He wants to behold the beauty of the God. He wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. He wants to behold the goodness of God. He's choosing to see the goodness of God in his life. Let's keep on going. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Many people think of the word sacrifice and they think of some type of bitter thing that they're having to rip away. And what David's saying here, no, I'm going to offer sacrifices, but they're going to be sacrifices of joy. I don't mind giving up anything. When I see the beauty of the Lord, when I see the goodness of God, these things that he asked me to sacrifice are willing sacrifices because they're sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord. Verses 1 through 6 is a praise. Verses 7 through 12, I see it as a prayer where he's struggling in certain areas. Yes, he has confidence in God. Yes, he's viewing the beauty of the Lord. Yes, he's believing to see the goodness of God. But in reality, there are still some struggles in each and every one of us. It's whether or not we have the faith to overcome those fears. It's whether or not we choose to believe to see the goodness of the Lord or not. And here David's asking for some requests. He says, hear, O Lord, He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." And I love that instruction that's there. He's saying, God, when you told me I need to seek your face, you know what? I'm on it. That's my desire. That's what I want. When you tell me, seek my... I wonder when God tells us in his word, hey, learn of me. Hey, seek me early. When we hear all these things, are we saying, yes, that's what I want. That's what I'm going to do. And we see here, it keeps on going. It says, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Then he says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. David knows what it's like to be put in the, to not feel or understand the presence of God. He knows what it's like to have sin in his life and to live in sin. And we know the story of Bathsheba. We don't know exactly when Psalms 27 was written. But all of us have that understanding, that fellowship that is broken. As children of God in the New Testament, the Bible teaches us that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, and that relationship will never be severed. But our fellowship, when we allow sin in our heart and sin in our lives that remain, and that we regard that iniquity, that fellowship is broken. I believe this is what David is saying. Hey, look, I don't want to seem like I'm far from you. I don't want you to be in the distance. I don't want you to hide me. I don't want you to put it away because of my sin. I want to seek your face. And he says, you're the one that has helped me. And he says, I want to be near you. Verse number 10, it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And I think what's being said here is David says, even if my father and mother leave me, even if those that are closest and those that are supposed to be there with me, if they leave me, my help is still found in God. He'll take me up. Verse number 11, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. So you see, as the request is going on, and he is praying to the Lord, asking and seeking help, he says, Lord, I want you to teach me the way. I want you to teach me the plain path. And he says, there's an enemy out there that's trying to destroy me. Verse number 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. You know, one of the most challenging things in this world is to have faith when people are talking bad about you. When people are making false accusations to you, when people are questioning maybe your devotion, maybe people are questioning your walk with God or questioning your integrity, sometimes the challenge is to respond back, but David is here and leaving it in God's hands. Verse number 13 and 14, I think, is the response. Verses 1 through 6 is the praise. Verses 7 through verse number 12, I believe, is the request. And verses 13 and 14, this is how he responds in faith. He says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, I would have fallen. He said, I would have become exhausted. I would have grown wearied. I would have wanted to quit. But I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. And he says in verse number 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we see that the encouragement of waiting on God is probably one of the hardest things to do as a believer, is to see the goodness of the Lord, but to wait and to believe that he's going to work all things together for good, that is a challenge at times. But when we're willing to wait and see the goodness of the Lord, what will we find? It says here in verse number 14, he shall strengthen thine heart. He has promised us strength if we're willing to wait on him. So these are three things that I see that seeing the goodness of the Lord will help us with. Point number one is, seeing the goodness of the Lord will give us confidence. Seeing the goodness of the Lord will give us confidence. I don't know about you, but I enjoy praising the Lord. I enjoy saying things to God, but there's no way I can get as good as David was. Boy, David was wonderful with his words. And he was Holy Spirit inspired. And when he penned some of these words, he read those things, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I would never came up with any of those things. Verse number one there is just wonderful. He says, the Lord is my light. It's personal. He says, he is my light. He's the one that gives me light. He's the one that shows the direction and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So we see here that if we see the goodness of God, it's going to give us confidence. It's going to give us confidence. He even says at the end of verse number 3, in this will I be confident. So the first thing is confidence during hard times. If we are willing to see the goodness of the Lord and we believe to see the goodness of the Lord, guess what's going to happen? It's going to give us confidence. It's going to give us confidence in the hard times. You ever been through a hard time before? I mean, you ever felt like your world was falling down around you? You ever feel like you were in distress? If you read these verses, you get this picture that David is not sitting in his palace writing this. When most of us consider David and we see David, we think, man, David has so many awesome victories. We think about David and Goliath. We think about David and the bear, David and the lion, David killing the Philistines. We think about all the good things that happened. Or we remember David's sin. Those usually are two of the things that are come the first forefront of our minds when we use the word David. But here, this is written about what happened the majority of David's life. At least a good portion of David's life, it was in distress. Verses 2 and 3, it gives a description. The wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. Wow. I mean, that's a distressing time. You think about what it says there in verse number 3. Though a host shall encamp against me, and there were times when enemies were coming to just destroy his flesh, and there were times when there was a host that encamped against them. I think about the times when Saul took out a large number of soldiers to just go get David. I think about Absalom, how he chased after David. All those different times that he was in distress, that is when I think he's writing this. That's when I think he's saying, Lord, I praise you for being my light. I praise you for being my salvation. I see the things you've done before in the past for me, but now I'm facing even new challenges. In verse number 12, the false witnesses are there. People are saying things that are wrong to me. And many times he felt like he was alone. Like he said in verse number 10, he says, look, even if my father and mother leave me, guess what? God's there to help me. And we remember as he went running from Saul, he had to take his mom and daddy. He took him to the king of Moab because of some of his heritage was from there. And he took them and put them. He was like, they're not there for me. And there were times even at Ziklag, he looked around. His wives wasn't there. His children wasn't there. His mom and dad wasn't. He was just him there with some soldiers that were getting ready to stone him. And I don't know when Psalms 27 was written, but I can hear and I can see and we can picture in and clue in. This is a time of distress. This is a time of worry. This is a time where he is facing difficulties, and we can have confidence. If we choose to see the goodness of God, it will give us confidence, even in hard times. As we remember the things that happened in the past, like he says in verses 2 and 3, he says, this happened, but you called them to stumble. This happened, and they rise up against me, but I still had confidence in you. Why? Because he has helped him before in the past. And he's saying, Lord, I need you to lead me now. It gives us confidence. That's what he says. Hey, it's the plain path I want you to teach me, Lord. I have the opportunity to wait on you, and you've given me strength for my heart. And that's when he says, look, my confidence is in you. Even in a hard time, I can have confidence. Second thing is, seeing the goodness of the Lord will give us confidence during the hard times, but also give us confidence as we focus on him. Go to verse number 4. I can't figure out whether or not verse number 4 or verse number 13 are my favorite verses in this chapter, but they're both wonderful. Verse number 4 says, and this is probably my favorite. I would have probably rather preached about this the whole entire time, but it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. You think about it. He's saying, there's one thing I desire. If someone came up to you and said, if God came up to you and said, hey, I'll give you one thing. Tell me what you want. Remember, he did that to Solomon, right? What did Solomon say? Solomon said he wanted wisdom. And since God blessed that, God says, since you asked for wisdom, I'll give you all the other things that you didn't even ask for. If he came up to you and said, there is one thing I'll give you, what would it be? I know some people would say, hey, I want more than one wish. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know, I want money. I want fame. I want a certain relationship. I want my family to be saved. Well, if you're going to pray for that, you might as well pray for all the whole world to be saved. I mean, don't focus just on your family. But all those different things. But you know what David said? He had dwindled down his life to this thing. And that's sometimes what adversity does. Sometimes when we have adverse circumstances, we find out what's really important in life. We find out what really matters. And sometimes when the critical times happen, we desire so many different things, And it gets to the point where we just wish for one thing. What would that one thing be? David says, I want the presence of the Lord. He says, I want to know God. I want to draw close to God. And he says, I want to see his beauty, and I want to be able to talk to him. That's what he's saying here in verse number 4 when he says, I desire the Lord that I will seek after him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now you say, oh, he's talking about that great big temple. Now remember, he's probably on the run here. He's remembering the days that maybe at the tabernacle, but there is no temple being built yet. It's probably some patchwork tent that's there, and someday Solomon's going to build a great and beautiful temple. What he is looking for here is the presence of God. What he's seeking for is to know God. He's seeking, and he continues on. He says, I want to dwell in the presence of God, because what does he behold in the presence of God? It says, the beauty of the Lord. As I stand and take a look at him, as I see, as I understand his presence, and in the presence of the Lord, it reminds me of the beauty of God. It reminds me of the goodness of the Lord. It reminds me of his grace. It reminds me of his mercy. Yes, we can look all around creation and it can inspire us, but in the presence of God, and when we stand in his presence and we fall on our face in his presence, we can see him. We can understand him from his word. We can see the beauty of the Lord. And that's what David's saying. There's this one thing I desire. I don't want God to forsake me. I need the presence of the Lord. It's the most important thing in my life, that I draw near to him. And then it says to inquire in his temple. What he's saying there is that he would know God's presence, and he would meditate on God's presence, and he would have the opportunity to speak to God. He says, this is the one thing I desire, my relationship with God to be real, my relationship to God to be something I can be confident in and I can trust in. That word, one thing, is an interesting Bible study. It's mentioned a number of times in the Bible. I'll remind you of a few. Think about in Philippians 3:13. Paul has just said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Paul had just talked about, you know, counting everything out else but dung and worthless, that he may know Christ. And later on in verse number 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So Paul is saying here before this verse is, I want to know God. It's my one thing that I want. And then later on, he says things like, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. In the next verse, he says in verse 14, I press toward a mark for the prize of the high calling of God. And he's saying, this one thing I do, this is the one thing I have to do. This is the one connection that I need to do. I need to forget my past. I need to forget those things that are bogging me down, and I need to reach forth to God. I need to reach forth to the things God's asking me to do. He had an aspiration to know him better, and then his sin, his life, his past life was bogging him down. He says, I need to forget those things which are behind. I need to continue to push forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. What's God's calling in your life? You say, well, he wants me to be this. You're missing it. He wants you to know him. He wants you to spend your life glorifying him. He wants you to have a relationship with him that is real, that is sincere, and he will direct you. He'll make your path plain, like the verse says there. He'll give you that's the high mark, that's the high prize, is to know God. If we're going to glory in anything, glory in this, that you know and understand who God is what it says in the book of Jeremiah. It's saying that is the greatest acquisition you can ever have, is growing in your knowledge of God. And David said, this one thing I desire, I want to be close to you. What is the one thing you desire? I think about in the book of Luke, we remember the story of Mary and Martha. Martha's cumbered abound, and she comes and says to Jesus, bid Mary to help me. And this is what the Lord's response was. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which should not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. What is the good part? David has it right here. I want to learn how to worship God. I want to know him better. What is that one desire? Man, I'd love to have my house paid off, or I'd love to have a new car, or I'd love to just be able to pass my test. You know, what is that one thing you desire? Mary had it figured out. Martha's desire that day was for everyone to be pleased and happy. And of course, she wanted to learn from Jesus, but that wasn't the greatest desire that day. Think about what the blind man said after he was healed. He was questioned by the religious leaders. He said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. What that blind man was saying, he says, you can say all you want about Jesus. You can say all you want. And he says, the only thing I know is that there was a time when I was blind and now I can see. That's the one thing I know. And there is one thing that we can know and we can understand. It is God that's made the difference in our life. And David is saying, this one thing I desired, I want to know him. What about the rich young ruler? He had bragged about all the different things he did. And Jesus asked him. He says, I've kept all those since my youth. The Lord looked at him and said, this one thing, it's all you got to do. And he talked about going and selling the poor, going and selling all his items and giving it, all his riches and giving it to the poor. And he walked away sorrowful because his one thing wasn't knowing God. I want to encourage you today, seeing the goodness of the Lord, it will give you confidence. It will give you confidence through the hard times, but it will give you confidence only as we focus on him. I believe the reason why David was able to say, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord, was because he's seen the beauty of God in verse number 4. He spent time alone praising him for his beauty. I also think about when it says in Hebrews chapter number 12, listen to these verses. Wherefore, seeing we also compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Doesn't even talk about the sin there, the weight, the things that are distracting us, the thing that is taking us away from the most important thing. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which should have easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Listen to this last phrase. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You can have confidence as you see the goodness of God. What it's saying in Hebrews chapter number 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And it gives this idea with our theme verse for the year and our theme for the year. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. There's that word faint again. You're going to become overwhelmed. You're going to become feeble. You're going to become weak if you choose not to stay focused on God. I agree that we live in a world that is full of turmoil. Can you imagine being one of the Israelite slaves? Could you imagine watching maybe your family members killed or knowing that you're never, ever going to see them again, taken all the way to Babylon? Could you imagine if you were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, knowing that you're probably never going to see your parents, grandparents, never going to see your temple again, never going to see your priests again? They might have been killed right in front of your eyes. Because that's what they did many times. They got rid of all the older, more feeble people. They just got rid of the people. They didn't want anything to do with them. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is there in a foreign country, never to go home again. How can they stay strong? How can they do that? It's because they choose to see the goodness of God in every situation. That's how they can choose not to bow down when Nebuchadnezzar puts up that big idol and says, we are not careful to answer thee according to this, or whatever the exact words were. He was saying, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful. Our God is able. He's well able to deliver us out of your hand. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship your idol. Why is that? Because they knew who God was. They saw the beauty of God. They understood the goodness of God. It will give you confidence. The second thing is, seeing the goodness of the Lord will give us direction. Look what it says in verse number 11. Once again, you think about how this is all boils down in verses 1 through 6 is a time of praise. Verses 7 through 12, he's praying to God about some of his concerns, and he's asking, Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. If seeing the goodness of the Lord will give us direction. If we believe God's good, you know what? We're going to seek direction from him. If we stay focused on the Lord and we, the author and finisher of faith, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get directions from him. You ever got directions from someone and they gave you the wrong directions? You go this way, and you ended up in the wrong spot. I can almost guarantee that next time you're not going to ask that guy for directions again. If so, you're a fool. what the scripture is saying here, if you see the goodness of the Lord and you realize the direction he's giving, David is saying, you helped me in verses 2 and 3. I want you to make my path. And he says, I want you to make it plain. I want you to make it straight. I want you to make it what the scripture is talking about there, straight. I want it to be plain because my enemies are there. And it's something that I want you to make it just, a straight, an even path. Lord, I'm not the brightest guy in the world. Please just lay it out there where you want me to go next. Wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to go. And that's what David is saying here. Everyone else has forsaken me, even if everybody else does. I'm seeking the Lord here because I know as I see the goodness of the Lord, he's not going to lead me astray. He's not going to take me somewhere he cannot take care of me. I remember at a youth conference, we went there. We went to the Beacon Baptist Church Youth Conference in one of the years that talked about how God is not going to give us a will that he cannot take care of us. And I know that's not the exact words from the phrase, but on the back of the shirt, it talked about how he's not going to tell you to do something he can't take care of you to do. He's not going to send you somewhere to do something that he can't not help you and make the plain path for you. And I want to encourage you today, if you will keep a focus on the goodness of God, he will direct you through his word. He'll direct you through his spirit. He will give you the wisdom you need. All you have to do is ask. Think about what it says in James chapter number 1, verses 5 through 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He said, Pastor, I claimed that verse. I listened to that verse. I still don't see the plain path. It says the next phrase, but let him ask in faith. Here's the key is he's going to give you the wisdom. Now take the step of faith you need. And then it says, let him ask of God. I'm sorry, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man, the one who doesn't ask in faith, think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And he's sitting there and we're sitting there saying, Lord, give me wisdom. But when he gives us wisdom, we don't take it. Because of that, he says, you're not going to get any wisdom from me. But when you see, like David says here, I'm seeing the goodness of the Lord. I know I can trust him. If he leads me this way, even if it doesn't make sense, he can make all things work together for good. I believe and trust in him because I see the goodness of the Lord. I can follow him. And that's why he says, make the plain path. Make the path plain. It all boils down to this. It's asking for directions. He says, teach me thy way. Lead me in a plain path. See, seeing the goodness of the Lord will give us direction. If you don't think God is good, why in the world are you going to listen to him? If you don't think God knows all and that God's all powerful, and if you don't believe and trust that God's going to be good to you, why would you seek his face? But what I'm preaching to is Christians here that says they love the Lord, preachers and Christians and churches that say, hey, I surrender all. You lead me. You guide me. And he's saying, okay, here you go. He gives us wisdom, but we don't do it in faith. We don't ask in faith. We don't believe that God's really going to give us the answer. So because we do a feigned prayer saying, God, I need leadership, I need direction, but we're not totally committed to it. He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. God, whatever you lead me and show me and direct me, as long as it doesn't disagree with your word, I'm all in. So the third thing, not only is seeing the goodness of the Lord will give us confidence, will give us direction, but seeing the goodness of the Lord will give us strength. Look what the scripture says here in verse number 13 and 14. And this is David's response to his prayer request. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I know it goes through some people's minds because it's how I feel at times. Oh, Pastor, everything you said is well and good. But how do I find strength to see the goodness of the Lord in times like this? How do I find strength to see the goodness of the Lord when I've lost a loved one? How do I find strength to see the goodness of the Lord when someone stabs me in the back? How do I find strength to see goodness in the Lord when the bills are piling up and when people are sick and when I don't know what tomorrow holds? David answers that. He says, wait. Well, how am I supposed to wait? Remember, we recognize the goodness of the Lord. We have faith in God and confidence. He's going to take care of it. And then we can know we can wait on him. If it comes from God, it's worth waiting for. Remember, God is the one that can lift you up. God is the one that can make the difference. You go through this whole Old Testament, you just go through David's life. And David was miraculously saved a number of times. And David's saying, okay, Lord, I don't understand this distressing problem that I'm going through right now, but I'm going to wait on you, because when I wait on you in faith, seeing the goodness of the Lord, my heart receives strength. Think about some of these verses. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. When you put it that way, it's like, how can you not trust in it? Everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. Now, we may faint, God will never faint. Neither is weary. You mean God's not fainting because of the virus? No, he's not. You mean God's not weary because of how lethargic the church is today? He's not. There is no searching of his understanding. I love that. There is no searching. No man can truly know and understand the thoughts that God has. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. See, Pastor, I thought you said David wasn't going to faint because he saw the goodness of the Lord, and that's what happens. Yes, under these circumstances, most people faint. Most people become weary. Most people become feeble and tired, and they cannot go on. But he gives strength to them that see the goodness of the Lord. Even the youth shall faint. Most of us think, well, they're young people. They should be able to go and go and go and never get tired. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of the eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Remember, it's when we are weak, he can show his strength through us. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, it says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, in reproaches and necessities. Paul is saying, I take pleasure in these infirmities, these reproaches, necessities, and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The promise you find here in verse number 4 is you can be of good courage because he will strengthen your heart. Why? How? Is when we believe and have faith to see the goodness of the Lord, that no matter what this world offers, God's going to be good. That you can see the beauty of the Lord that it talks about in verse number 4, that you can inquire at his temple. Like it says in verse number 4, we can still have a relationship, we can still understand and see who God is, and we can see his beauty, and we can talk with him. He says he'll give you strength, and he will uphold you with his right hand. That's why Paul's saying, I can glory in things like infirmities. I can take pleasures in reproaches, necessities, persecution, distresses. I can do all those things for Christ's sake, because I know for Christ's sake, when I am weak, then am I strong. Joshua is talking to the children of Israel. He's getting ready to die. And he gives them a challenge that many people have on their front door or somewhere posted in their house. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Then later on the verse, he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why do you choose that verse for? Because the idea is you have a choice. You can have the choice to see the goodness of the Lord in these situations. You can have the choice to believe, to see the goodness of the Lord. In the land of the living, you can see God working and moving in your life and your heart. Yes, we live in a day today that's unusual, uncertain, don't know really what's going to happen next. Even though I believe today is unlike any other day, there was days and times that people lived through certain things that are far worse than what we're going through, that were uncertain times at that time too. And they were able to receive strength and encouragement from the Lord. I think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think about people who stood for God despite the hardship that was going on and how God was able to use them. I think about Moses. I think about Noah. I see Abraham. I see all those different people that despite the circumstances of their life, they were able to see the goodness of the Lord. What did it do? Help them keep on going on. But in almost every situation, you see those people that were used in a strong and mighty way was because what verse number 4 said was important to them. I got one desire here. All those other things pale in comparison. One desire, and that is that I can worship the Lord. That's pretty much what the verse is saying there. That I can feel his presence, that I can be near his presence. That's what made the tabernacle special, was the ark was there. The ark was there and represented the presence of God. And I look around this room and we have, I don't know, 10 people here, maybe a few more. And we come here and people say, I have had so many people say, I'm missing church. Man, we miss seeing you. But wonderful thing is, we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. He's promised us he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. You don't have to go to a building. That's what David's sitting here on the side of a mountain, maybe on a cave. I don't know where he's at. He's not in the tabernacle, but he's saying, this is my desire, is that I stay close to that presence of God, that I consciously live in the presence of God. And maybe you can't come here right this second, but you know what you can do? You can still stay close to God. Praise the Lord for that. Make that your one desire. Choose to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I think, and you might think it's a little bit of a stretch, I think there's a connection to verse 13 and verse number 4. I think the reason why David could say, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, is because in verse number 4, he beheld his beauty. If we'll learn to behold his beauty, we're going to be able to see the goodness of the Lord later on. If we can behold his beauty in his word, behold his beauty as we draw near to him, behold his beauty in those quiet times and those moments, we're going to be able to see the goodness of the Lord later on in the land of the living. Say, Pastor, I don't know about all this stuff that's going on. I'm more like that person that's fainting. I'm growing tired. I'm becoming weary. I'm becoming feeble. And I'm becoming exhausted. And yes, our outward man does that sometimes. But our inward man can be renewed day by day. I'm sure David was exhausted here, but he could still praise the Lord. And he could say, I have confidence, I get direction, and I get help and strength because I choose to see and I choose to believe. Choose to believe the goodness of the Lord. Do you choose to believe to see? That's what he's saying. He believed to see the goodness, not just believing in the goodness of God. He chose to see it. I can see the goodness of God. I can see how God's working. I can see how God's moving because I saw his beauty earlier. Let's make sure that that one thing is the same one thing that Paul wanted. It's the same one thing that Moses talked about when he said, I want to see thy glory. It's the same one thing that Abraham was challenged about. His one thing was going to become Isaac someday because Isaac was the apple of his eye. And God said, I want to teach you something about yourself, Abraham. I want you to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah. I want to show you what that one thing is. That one thing is not Isaac. That one thing is me. And I want to challenge you today. What is your one thing? Make it the Lord. He loves you. He's the one that can make you not faint. He's the one that can give you strength. Remember, have confidence. It gives you direction. And it gives you strength. When you choose to believe, to see the goodness of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this service. God, help us in the service here in just a little while. Help those that listened. Help us to make the one thing the most important thing. Thank you for the example of David going through distresses, still able to praise, still shows us how he's fearful a little bit in verses 7 through 12. He's asking these requests. You tell us to cast our cares, tell us to cast our burdens on you. But his response is, I still believe to see the goodness of the Lord. I'm still willing to wait and let him strengthen my heart. Help us to have that same testimony. In Jesus' name, amen. As the Lord leads me in preaching and teaching the word of God, you know, I let him lead and guide me. But I want you to understand that God is good and that God loves us. Now, I know the service this morning was mainly to Christians. And the example of David, a man that loved God, and how we should also love the Lord. But there is another group of people out there in the world that are not believers, that they're not Christians. We were all that way at one point in time. We were all lost. We all needed a Savior. And because of that, God sent his Son down the cross to die for us. And the reason why he did that was to pay our sin debt. See, our sins, the things that we do wrong, separate us from God, and we will be punished for all eternity in a horrible place called hell. But God provided a way. He provided his Lamb, the Holy Lamb of God, to die for the sins of mankind. And if we will put our faith and trust in him and what he did on that cross, we can also know him personally and call him our Father, God our Father, which art in heaven. I want to encourage you today, if you don't know for sure that you died, that you would go to heaven, let me encourage you to go to our website. It gives you an explanation of how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. Or maybe talk to somebody that you can trust. You're welcome to go to faithbaptistecnc.org and get the phone number here and call the church. We'd be glad to help you any way we can. But the most important choice you can make in your life is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me encourage you to respond to that if you're not sure that if you die today that you go to heaven. The Bible gives us promises of eternal life. John chapter 14, he gives promises of homes in heaven. Praise the Lord for those things. Let me encourage you to watch a service here in a little while this evening where I look at how we can have victory over sin. It's a choice. We choose whether or not we want to have victory. Let's choose today to serve him. Look forward to seeing you soon. If you need something, let us know. We'll help you any way that we can.